Hey, welcome. This is Dave Douglas, and that's music from the solo recording by pianist Marta Varelis on Relative Pitch Records. The album's called A Grain of Earth. We talk about that album and her work, as well as collaborations with Ingebrigt Hockerflaten and her trio Omawi. Marta will be playing with my quintet around Europe this month. We hope you can come out, hear us, say hello. And for the extra, Marta picked a track by Codona. She has a lot of beautiful insights. So please join us at greenleafmusic.com to get all of these episodes. And thank you so much for your support. Happy New Year. And here's Marta Varelis. Hi, Marta Varelis. Thank you so much for joining me. It's great to see you.
Hi, Dave. Great to see you.
This record is so beautiful. So the record's called A Grain of Earth, and we just heard the track In Waves. This is on Relative Pitch Records, which is Brooklyn-based.
Yes.
Even though you live in Amsterdam, and you're from Poland.
That's true.
So it's a beautiful solo album, and it came out in June 2022, is that?
Yes, last year.
So that track is a very particular example of your playing on prepared piano, but you do it a lot, and every track is a very different sonic texture. And the little bit that I've played with you and what you contributed to the album Secular Psalms, there's so much variety and so many different approaches. So I guess first, why don't we start with, you know, what was the preparation on the track that we just heard, In Waves?
I used some magnets on the strings and this sliding sounds. It's a little cymbal. Cymbal? Is this how you say it?
Yeah.
That I also slide on the string while hitting the key.
Cool. You have a bag of different tools. So
yeah, have my
toys. What's the other thing? What do you tell us some of your other secret weapons?
There is another piece on the album, the second piece, that I used a plastic CD sliding it on the strings and gets mm-hmm. this out of space kind of noises with a sustain pressed on. There is a track that I think we may be going to hear it also, that I use a hair bow, hair from the bow, and just drag it around the string. I like magnets very much. I use sometimes something that is called blue tag here, which is a white sticky kind of gum that you use when you want to put a paper on the wall and you don't want to use a nail.
Yeah.
It's nice because it doesn't stick to the string, so it's very clean. Yeah, I
when
think.
When did you start preparing pianos like this?
I know it's
an important part of your practice.
Yeah, when I was on the third year of my studies, I became restless. I felt that all the other instrumentalists, they are so intimate with the sound, like the horn players playing with their breath and the singer being the sound, and you know, bass players touching the membrane of the bass and touching the strings, and I felt like I play such a cold instrument that I press the key that you know moves the hammer that hits the string somewhere far away, and I got really obsessed. I felt like I need to find that connection. I needed it, so this was the way that I started, just touching everything inside, and it became my own little weird orchestra.
And you said it was your third year of studies. Was that in Poland?
No, in Holland. I studied in Groningen, in the north of Holland.
Or as we say in America, Groningen.
Groningen.
Can you say it again? I can never
Groningen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. right, so it was your third year there. And I mean, I think people are pretty welcoming now to this approach, or did you find there was resistance, like in the program?
Most of the time when I go to play somewhere, people know that they invite me and that I do this. Mm. But it happens sometimes, it still happens that, especially if I go to play in a place that doesn't host so much free improvisation, and there will be this beautiful instrument, you know, like very well preserved, and maybe some classical players use it to play. I wouldn't want to interfere with that. I respect that some people, they need this perfect balance and perfect sound, but I think to destroy a piano is really difficult. If you hit the key stronger, you might get it out of tune. So if I put a little magnet on the string, I don't think much will happen. So I try to explain that, and usually it works.
How many pianos have you destroyed?
Oh, happened one time actually that I played in a church here in Holland, and they rented a piano, and I didn't prepare it, but I played strong. And the string just broke. I was packing and I looked and the string was broken.
Oh.
And but I think this thing happens, right? I felt a little bit guilty, but I think it happens.
Happens to
me. No, I didn't destroy a piano. I never destroyed a piano.
Well, I hope you will on our tour that we have.
Right.
I'll look forward to that.
You got it.
Leave plenty of space. Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, the solo album is so powerful and you have a lot of collaborations also. And I think in this collaboration with Ingebrigt Hacker Flatten on bass, at least on the recording that I've heard, it's not so much inside the piano. It's playing.
No, that's true. That's true.
And I'm sure every situation is different, but do you go into these collaborations with a concept about how much to get inside the piano?
No, I don't think so. I feel like the preparations are really part of my language. I don't see them separately anymore.
Mm.
I feel it's just another color that I use to approach the melody.
Mm-hmm.
So if it happens, it happens. But the truth, there are certain projects that this come out more, and certain for a reason that I just choose, that just doesn't come. Mm. It's more on the keys itself. I don't know what it depends on, but.
Well, do you, I mean, with the preparations with these tools that you're describing, like how common it is for you to just be able to, in the moment, decide, okay, now I'm going to go make this other sound? Or do you sort of decide before going into situations how you're going to approach it?
If it's free improvising, not. If it's playing pieces, most of the time, I don't think about it. Although when I recorded for you for the Secular Psalms, of course, we didn't play it live before. And so I chose for certain colors.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a project with a Turkish singer that I did last year or 2 years ago, last time. And we were playing songs.
Mm.
And for these songs, I also chose for certain colors. But most of the time, it comes in the moment, and it's as if I decide in the moment to which register I'm going to play in, and also the color kind of comes in the moment.
Let me play a little bit of this duo with Ingebrigt, and then we'll talk about it. It's called Alphabet of Breath. We ended up just about playing the whole thing. That's a beautiful track. What a great combination of players. Have you played with him a lot?
Not really, no. We've met some years ago, and it's a really beautiful friendship. I love Ingebrigt. He's a wonderful person. And we played for the first time with a project of Frank Rosalie 2 years ago, Ruido Oscuro. And this is how we met musically, and we had a recording session. And we, while it was recording, we played two little pieces in duo, and we loved it. And they are going to be on the album also. And then, so the year after, I was offered to play in Beam House on a little festival organized by the Rhymes, by Tim Sprangers, and I invited Ingebrigt to play. And we played a 20-minute set, and it was also recorded. So this is basically the album, and it's a very, very fresh group, very fresh project. But I'm really looking forward to see how it will evolve and to play more.
When is that going to come out?
This year. I don't know exactly when. We just got in touch with a label called Weird Cry Records from California. Well, and we'll
time
see.
In 2023, we'll hear it. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a beautiful collaboration. And then you sent this other track that's also a really special sounding group of players. It's this trio that you've also recorded and is also going to be coming out sometime in the near future. So
yes, this year also.
This year, we'll get a lot of Marta in our ears. So this is with Wilbert de Juda and Ono Govert.
Yes.
And the band is called Omawi.
Yes.
So now you told me that the record's not really done, but this recording you sent is from Vancouver Jazz Festival.
Yes, it's actually recorded in Beam House, but it was recorded for Vancouver Jazz Festival. We were supposed to go in 2020. So it got cancelled, and they decided to do the Amsterdam connection. There were three groups coming to Vancouver that year, and we recorded in Beam House, and they didn't stream it, but they shared it.
Right. The time difference would be strange.
Yeah. Yes. So this track is from then, and the album is coming. We decided to release material from a live recording that was recorded in the period between the first pandemic and it was the second year of pandemic after the lockdown, right after the lockdown. So the energy was so special to play for the audience. It was still limited amount of people in the room, but the energy was so beautiful, and we are going to go for that one.
Wow. Yeah, that's really well said. All of us who sort of lived through these whole 3 years of incredible impact on our art form, on our practice, on our craft, and then all these different points when there was a middle point. I remember when it seemed like everything was clearing up and we started playing again, then it got worse again.
Yeah.
And each time that happens, people don't want to. But now we're out playing.
We're out playing, huh? I think we still feel it. We are still in it. But
yeah, I still feel that energy in the room that you're describing.
Mm-hmm. The new year, I don't know how it was there where you live, but here. Uh-huh. I don't remember. I live here 13 years and I don't remember such a new year with such an amount of fireworks.
Oh.
The intensity of explosions for 1.5 hours nonstop.
Wow.
it was something I never experienced before. I think people really wanted to get it out big.
And they probably had all the fireworks saved up for the World Cup, and they didn't
over
advance,
the World Cup.
So they had them left over for New Year's.
Probably.
Oh. Wow. So I didn't know that Vancouver Jazz Festival did that. So they got the Amsterdam bands to play live sets at the BIM House, and then they were recorded and videoed, and then it was all shared with the festival audience in Vancouver. And this is in 2020, so the first months really of the pandemic.
Oh, yes, but I think these recordings were a year after. If I remember well, they were trying to bring us back, but I think it didn't work out. So they did this internet festival.
Right. And the BIM House is now really well set up for this kind of thing, right? They told me we're playing at the BIM House.
Yes.
Later this month. And they told me that it's going to be live streamed.
Oh, beautiful. Yes, they have a set of new cameras.
Uh-huh.
They were all training, all the sound engineers were training to use the cameras in the live setting. There is BIM House radio. Yeah, they really, in the pandemic, they developed in that sense, like many places, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure how people would tune in, but it's out if you search on it. I think it's around the 19th of January that we play. But let's hear this trio.
All right.
Beautiful, beautiful group. It's so great. The sound is great. Just wondering, is there any written material or is it completely improvised?
Improvised.
You guys just go on stage.
Mm.
Nice. And how long have you been playing with this trio?
This is my oldest band. We play since 2015.
Wow.
Yeah, I love this group.
I'm not familiar with, I know Wilbert de Jude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with Ono Govert. Is he also Dutch?
Yes, he's a Dutch drummer. He collaborates with many beautiful musicians. He plays with John Dijkman, Jasper Stadthouders. It's called Cactus Tract Group. He plays in Kaya Draxler's octet. I'm trying to think of older groups, but he's wonderful player, but he doesn't have a group of his own with his name. Maybe that's why it doesn't ring the bell. But
I'm not knowledgeable about what's happening, especially in the Netherlands and around Europe.
Of course.
I mean, I just don't live there. But, wonderful player. Great trio. And the band is still together. Obviously this new record studio album is coming out.
Yes. Yes, we decided to record. It's the last album was recorded 2015, came out 2017, so it's been years. And we've been playing all this time. So the music, of course, transforms like our friendship. Mm. But we still like each other, so that's good.
That's always a good sign when a band still likes each other. When you will all ride in the same limo from the airport to the hotel. You don't need separate.
We don't.
That's good to know. So do you, like, back to the preparation thing, I mean, do you bring that into this band?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Also, this track, it's a more danceable track, which... I think we play a lot in that way, groovy in a certain sense, but there's also this other side that is very open and sparse and meditative. And for that, I often use preparations. And Ono, he's incredible. It's almost like an orchestral drummer with the gongs and little bells and really beautiful landscapes.
Well, I'd love to hear that. So let us know when that record comes out and we'll make sure to mention it. Do you have a label for it?
Yes, it's also Relative Pitch.
Great. Great. Are you planning to make another solo album at any point for them?
Oh, no plan, no.
I didn't mean to shock you.
No. I mean, I hope it will happen, but I felt like this solo was kind of a closure. It came as a beautiful opportunity. But I feel solo, it's... I feel you have to be ready for it. You need to have something to say, I guess. And this will take time for another one. I am not... planning yet.
Why was the record called A Grain of Earth?
I guess it came with realization of all the ideas that came out through the music for that album. There was an idea of okay, how to put it in words? That's nice. There was an idea of a big body, an organism that we are a part of, where everything goes endlessly smaller and bigger in this sense of time, speed, and size. So with that, and also the idea that everything moves in waves that interfere with each other constantly. And a collaboration with an artist, Russian artist, Dasha Plesin is her artistic name, that works with microorganisms. She works with mold. Is that the word for that mushroom kind of thing. And she grows them in the petri dishes and she feeds them with different color candies and sees how they grow. So this all together make me think of these imperceptible realities that are happening simultaneously and at the same time that we cannot perceive them because of that differences. So that's why a grain of earth, I mean, we are a little dot, big and small at the same time.
Is that her artwork on the cover of the album?
Yes.
So that's mold.
That's mold.
Wow. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. It's not so obvious.
So you have the opening track. It's called Echoes.
Hmm.
Just to get back to this album on relative pitch, I'm just going to play a little bit of this. Love it. So beautiful, very meditative. I always wonder with solo performances, you know, especially on a record like this where each piece, the texture is so different. How much did you say, you know, it took a lot of work to develop something to say for a solo album. Like, so how much time do you spend sort of setting up what the vibe is going to, I mean, in your music, it sounds like it always sounds like it's mostly improvised, but I'm sure there must be some pre-fixed elements that go into it.
Mm-hmm. What was pre-fixed, I guess, was what I said before. So the idea of it, I knew I wanted it to be a little journey.
Mm.
I also, for me, it was closure musically but also emotionally, so I wanted to put certain kind of emotion in it.
Mm.
To leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about it when I got the offer for recording this solo. I thought, should I impose on myself for some written material? And I thought that it would be a nice challenge for me. But in the end, I decided not to do it, mainly because I don't do it.
Huh.
I don't write down things. So I thought it wouldn't be that, since it's a first album, I just wanted to be as honest as possible in the sense of what I was doing all these last years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I took with me some photographs.
Mm.
For that would bring me to certain emotion or to certain mood, or brought up some texture. I like very much graphic inspiration. It's very present for me in my work. So, for example, I had a picture of an old house of where my grandma used to live when she was a little girl. That is in Ukraine now.
Wow.
So this, I had this with me, but I really thought I'm just going to go and treat this as a live performance, as what I usually do. So in this sense, I just went and improvised.
You still have family in Ukraine?
No. The family from my mother's side, they lived there, but it was when it was still Poland.
Mm.
And then after Second World War, they moved the people that lived on the east because the borders moved, right? So the Ukraine, what is now Poland, what was Poland became Ukraine, and the west side, what was Germany, became Poland. So they took the people from the east and moved them to the west. So that's in the history of my family. So we don't have anyone living there anymore.
Interesting. But was there a blend of languages in that region? Is this like Lviv or?
Yes, it's not so far from Lviv.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit more towards what is now the border between Poland and Ukraine. But what do you mean, the mix of language?
Well, that in so many areas like that went back and forth between different countries and different nationalities. And I would imagine people would grow up knowing multiple languages.
Hmm.
And when the border changes, then you have to decide, okay, well, which one am I going to?
You know, the thing is that in that change, the people that live there, so the German people that spoke German, they were moved away. And the people that lived in Polish people, speaking Polish, that lived in the east of Poland, they were moved. So there wasn't really the mix. It was just very rough change.
Right. And I guess it was a small enough area that it worked. Like other parts of the world where they just draw a new border and say to everyone, okay, here's the new line, now move. It's a disaster.
But the thing is that when they do that, sometimes people don't have to move. In this case, they all had to move.
They had to move. The government made them move.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and now someone is trying to do that again, and it's very sad and tragic thing happening. And
very much.
It's been intense going to Poland over the last year or two just to feel that this is all happening right at the border.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyhow, back to music. You, what other than this, well, you have so much going on. There's the trio. There's this duo with Ingebrigt coming up. You're playing with me, which I can't wait.
Yay!
Get into that. We'll be all around Europe, so I hope that people will come and say hello. What else is coming up in this year for you? What are you working on?
There is one more project that I'm really excited about. It's also a duet. But I'm playing analog Korg synthesizer and little organ.
Mm.
And it's a duo with a drummer from Canary Island, Nassim Lopez Palacios Navarro. And it's a very special project. It's touching on noise and progressive rock.
Mm.
So I'm really excited, and we are working hard on, well, we improvise a lot, but also we have some compositional ideas and we are working on them. And there is an Italian label that offered us an album, and I think it's going to come out this year also. Super Punk is called. So I'm very excited about this one.
So I want to go out with this track from your solo album. It's called Invisible Threads. Really beautiful piece.
Thank you, Dave.
Stick around. You mentioned this track that you love from Codona with Don Cherry and Nana Vasconcelos and Colin Walcott. And I want to ask you about that. So we'll do that as an extra for our subscribers. And I can't wait to ask you about it. So thank you so much for joining me.
It's thank great. You. Lovely to chat.
Such great music.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Marta Varelis. This is Dave Douglas. Thanks again, greenleafmusic.com. Come and join us. Thank you.